Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Really? Can you feel the tension in the air right now? I know I can. I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
You're tuned in to the FF Face-Off. Here, ready to drop the elbow on your competition, is Mike and Anthony. Ooh, yeah, dig it. Yeah, the FF Face-Off.
And what is going on, everybody? This is the FF Face-Off. I am your host, Anthony Servino. Follow me on Twitter, at The Real NFL Guru. Follow the show at the FF Face-Off. We can be found at all of the top social media and podcast platforms. And today, we're going to talk NFL draft, and now that, you know, the first and second waves of free agency are behind us, and with me is somebody who's been on the show, I think, for each of the past 2 years, making his third consecutive NFL draft appearance on this show. He was one of, I will say, if not the top guest on the FF Face-Off Mental Health Podathon last year, for how much he captivated the audience, it's the gridiron scholar, John Lobb. John, what's going on?
Hey, man, how are you?
I'm doing great. You're loud. You're loud today.
Sorry, it's my hair. I'm having a bad hair day. I don't know what's going on, but I guess you guys can see me because I can't see you. So,
well, no, it's how I have my camera configured.
Okay.
We're all visible.
Okay, good. That's all that matters.
So, John, tell everybody who you are, where they can find your content, and what you do.
Sure. My name is John Lobb. I've been with the Football Diehards for over 20 years. I have my scholar study sheets. They are up for the 8th year in a row on the Football Diehards, and I break down all the skill position players for fantasy football, the rookies coming out every year. And then I'm with NFL Draft Bible, and my partner Matt Hicks and I do the NFL Draft Seminar, and we have 40 episodes are up right now on YouTube of 40 of the rookies who are in this year's draft class, and we break them down in about 10-minute shows.
You know, here at the FF Faceoff, admittedly, I don't get into prospects like you guys do, and there's so many... It's like, you know what? Like, when it's time to talk draft, I'll bring the experts on. And that's why you're here. And we have other great guys like Andy Singleton. I know you worked with him in the past. Josh Larkey from Player Profiler. He'll be on in the future. I'm sure I'm going to get Matt on, Matt Hicks. But, John, you're the first one, the first real draft guy we're going to have on as we're entering NFL draft season. And we're going to kind of take an unconventional approach, and we're going to talk about, you know, the top prospects. We're going to try to focus on the quarterback position, the top of the first round, and the trade that went down last week with the 49ers moving up. What is your opinion on that trade? Because Mike Hoff, my co-host, he has, you know, family obligations tonight. He's a big 49ers fan. I'm sure he'll be tuning in right now to see, what do you think the San Francisco 49ers and Kyle Shanahan, who is one of the quarterback gurus in the league right now, what is their plan?
I have to say this. I'm a little bit shocked by it because I understand they want the franchise quarterback. But are they 100% guaranteed to get their guy there? Because while we believe the Jets are taking Zach Wilson, try to find a quote from the general manager and the new head coach in which say they are targeting and taking Zach Wilson. We have NFL beat reporters. We have anonymous sources. I can't find a direct quote from the two decision makers. Now, do I think they're taking Zach Wilson? Yes. But what if the Jets take your guy who you want at number two?
Interception.
So that now was a little confusing to me. I understand that the 49ers believe they have a ready-made franchise. The only thing they're missing was the quarterback. And we saw last year when Jimmy Garoppolo went down, they just kind of fell apart. Also, their defense, I would say if their defense had stayed healthy, they might have been able to survive, but they had so many injuries on the defensive side of the football, the team collapsed. And I think of two trades. Remember Robert Griffin, from coming out of Baylor, going to the Washington football team. And then when the Jets traded up for Sam Darnold. And both of those franchises traded away a big chunk of their future to acquire the second or third quarterback in the drafts. I think they might have each been second. I question this. And I'll say this. If the rumors identifying Mac Jones as the target, I will say unequivocally, I'm completely blown away.
Really?
And Anthony, I've been saying since December that Mac Jones is going to go in the first round.
Right.
I've known that, and I was ahead of the curve, and I'm like, look at people. There are going to be five quarterbacks in the top 15 picks. And at the time, that seemed ludicrous to many. Now we're pretty much convinced there's still going to be five, but now the juxtaposition. I'm a big believer in the modern game. You have to have a quarterback who's athletic and can gain yards with his feet. You've seen it as a Cowboy fans, the difference with Dak Prescott, his dual threat ability, especially near the goal line. How many times has he gotten a first down with his legs? We've seen it with Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. It is, to me, imperative that I get a quarterback who's athletic and can win off of structure, outside of the game, of the play script, and win with his legs. I don't see that in Mac Jones. I like him in the pocket. He can command the pocket. He has sneaky first down mobility. But he's not an uber athlete as the Justin Fields, the Trey Lance. I have him as my fifth graded quarterback. And Shanahan knows more about football than I do. But to trade that much bounty to move up to get a quarterback who's kind of consensus 4 or 5 in most rankings, who does not give you that, and I don't like the term, but I'll use it, Kamani code, with the legs. I'm completely shocked by this. I could be completely wrong, but I'm now at the stage, and I'm an old man in my 50s. I grew up when quarterbacks were pure statues.
I would peg you for the 40s, but that's another story.
maybe this is my 50s.
It's the hair. I like it. It's also the energy you bring. I swear to God, your energy is uncanny.
Yeah. I thought Mac Jones was tailor-made for a playoff team. If you and I were talking in December, early January, I would have said New England with Belichick, Indianapolis before Carson Wentz, Pittsburgh with an aging Ben Roethlisberger. Those were perfect landing sites for Mac Jones. But you're telling me you're going to turn him over as the third pick in the draft of the San Francisco 49ers and bypass Trey Lance and Justin Fields when we've seen the magic that these quarterbacks have had with their ability to run? I mean, we've seen it with Cam Newton, and people have different opinions of Cam Newton. How I look at it is this way. He won a national championship. He won the Heisman. They were 1-15, the Panthers, when he got there. He won an MVP and got them to a Super Bowl. If you're the Miami Dolphins and you could guarantee that Tua Tagovailoa would win an MVP and get your franchise to a Super Bowl within the next 6 years, I think any Dolphin fan would take that. I think Cam Newton had a very successful career. I cannot believe that they are thinking of bypassing Justin Fields or Trey Lance and going for Mac Jones. And what is more shocking is, why did you move all the way up to 3 to do this? I'm just, the amount of draft capital, if this fails, Anthony, their franchise is going to be set back a lot, my friend.
You know, I listen to a lot of national media, a lot of FS1, and I'll plug them over the ESPN. I'm over the ESPN. But like FS1, the Colin Cowards, and he's been on vacation. They had Doug Gottlieb on. Not a lot of people like Doug Gottlieb, but he talked about this, and Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo and all this. And this is a can't-miss move for Kyle Shanahan. As great as he is, and he was brought up in the quarterback room, in the film room, you would think he knows, and he has earned the right, and I'm using Doug's words, he has earned the right to go get his guy. But this is a can't-miss spot, because if you miss with all of the draft capital the 49ers have given up, it's going to tarnish you a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. And look,
A lot of it.
I mean, this is a really nice spot for an athletic quarterback. And it's funny, he has grown up in the quarterback film room. But I also think he grew up watching John Elway, who was very mobile with Denver.
And he can't pick a quarterback if he had a gun to his head.
And then he got that magical season out of Robert Griffin when his father was at Washington, you know, before he blew out his leg. Just things went south from there. I look at Justin Fields and Trey Lance, and I see the ability to get on the edge and make incredible throws down the field. I mean, their arm strength, I don't think you can dispute it. And their ability to get first downs running the football, I just can't believe he would pass up that much talent for a kid who's essentially a pocket passer. And I'm a fan of Mac Jones, but right. I don't think his value here is worth the third overall pick when you have these other Uber quarterbacks on the board.
See, and this is why I bring the draft gurus on, because while everybody is studying the draft, or guys like you, I'm like a free agency guy. I like contracts. I like personnel movements of the veterans and things like that. And that's why it's like I don't try to pretend that I know what you guys know. But I look at it this way, like the knocks on Mac Jones, well, you know, in the past 2 years, he's going to have four wide receivers probably going in the first round. Maybe top 20 picks. When you talk about the two that went last year, we have two projected to go in the top 15 this year. He's never really played from a deficit. He's always had a top end offensive line. And maybe this is with anybody. Landing spot to me, like, this is why I don't get into prospects until after the draft, because it doesn't matter. How big is landing spot? And Mac Jones, like, if Mac Jones went to Jacksonville or, like, the Jets, he'll probably fail. But if he went to New England, and this is just how I see it, if he went to New England or the 49ers, when you have a top-end offensive line and you have similar coaching as you did in college and the personnel is about the same, then I think you have a better shot of succeeding.
Anthony,
how far am I off here?
You're not off at all, and I'm going to give you a couple examples. Remember when Dallas fell into Dak Prescott? Remember they wanted the guy out of Michigan State?
Oh.
I can't even remember his name now.
When Stephen Jones said, hey, Dad, get out of here, Dad.
Yes.
It was like Christian Ponder, some asshole like that.
Yeah, and the Raiders took the pick,
right.
The quarterback. So then Dallas ends up with Dak. Now, what does Anthony Romo was supposed to be the starter? Then he gets hurt. And Dak ended up with a terrific offensive line and a running game.
Right.
They enabled him to grow into the quarterback that we see today. And then I'm going to take us down a fanciful road. And I don't question the ability of Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, I was gonna bring this up. Thank you.
But Patrick Mahomes ended up with Andy Reid sitting behind Alex Smith.
This is why you're here.
With a great quarterback coach. A great quarterback coach who had already tutored and coached Brett Favre and Donovan McNabb. Now, Sam Darnold ends up in New York. He ends up with, in his third year, Adam Gase, one of the worst offensive play callers in the NFL. I'm not saying that Sam Darnold is Patrick Mahomes, and I had Patrick Mahomes graded higher than Sam Darnold coming out into the draft. And you could go see it on footballdiehards.com. But you're telling me.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Patrick Mahomes ends up with Adam Gase in New York, that he is the MVP and a Super Bowl MVP? No way, Anthony. No way.
I'd simplify it and say, like, what if Patrick Mahomes ended up in Chicago? And I know that He didn't have Andy Reid. He wasn't going to have Andy Reid in Chicago. And I know that Nagy eventually came there, but that was John Fox in year one. And what was the personnel around him? What was the team around him that was going to be in Patrick Mahomes' rookie year? He wasn't going to sit behind Alex Smith and learn the offense. He was probably going to be starting from the get-go. There was no Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill there either.
No.
Like, I know Pat, there was that one game where Patrick Mahomes, it was nationally televised, and he you know, they were blowing Chicago out, and he was making all these. If you ended up in Chicago, in my opinion, Patrick Mahomes might just be a guy right now. And that's an unpopular take. Right?
Yeah, you know what, Anthony? We loved, and I love quarterbacks more than anyone. They're my favorite player to study in the game. And I've been doing this since, you know, 1978 with Craig Morton, Terry Bradshaw, Roger Staubach.
Craig Morton. I'm a Cowboys fan.
My favorite quarterback as a kid. Love the quarterback position. But as I've gotten older, I've watched, you know, 40 years of football. The quarterback cannot entirely be separated from the teammates, coaching, and the scheme. It is to assume that you would have the same outcomes with different personnel and different coaching staffs. I just don't see it as being equivalent. There are just some coaches and franchises that do not know how to coach the quarterback position, who do not know how to help the young man grow into being a leader or a good quarterback. And I don't understand why that's so hard for people to grapple at times.
You know, and I just did it, and a lot of people do it. From the Patrick Mahomes to Chicago end, but I've never heard an opinion. What if Mitchell Trubisky landed in Kansas City? Would there be a different trajectory to his career, or is he just not it? Because a lot of it is, you know, Patrick Mahomes goes to Chicago, and I believe he wouldn't be the guy he is, but I've never really asked a question or even thought about it until now. What if Mitchell Trubisky ended up in Kansas City?
He would be better than he is, and he might be starting still, but I don't think he would have won a Super Bowl.
Okay, and that's fair. That's what I kind of expected.
Yes. Andy Reid would have coached him better. Right. Like, it just, like, to me, it's so obvious. I mean, Andy Reid's been with, when you really think about it, Brett Favre, Donovan McNabb, and now Patrick Mahomes. And remember, Andy Reid got the absolute most out of Alex Smith. I mean,
Alex Smith blew away career numbers with Andy Reid. And that was the year that, and Patrick Mahomes is behind him.
Yes. Yes.
Alex Smith wasn't putting up those numbers anywhere else.
Not at all. He was very good with Andy Reid. Andy Reid is a great football coach. More importantly, he knows how to make his quarterback be successful and put him in positions to succeed.
I know we're going off the rails here, but I was one of those who, like, when Andy Reid won his Super, I was so happy for Andy Reid. It's so easy. I'm in New Jersey and South Jersey, and people think Jersey's Giants. No, like, South Jersey is very much Philadelphia Eagles country. My father had Eagles season tickets his whole life. It's just like, you know, I knew Andy Reid. Like, when I was growing up into football, I knew what Andy Reid was. Yeah. And the fact that somebody like him finally got that Super Bowl, because without that, I don't know if he would be regarded the way he is now. But I'm so happy for Andy Reid. And he really needed that after going through all those NFC Championship games with those outstanding teams with McNabb and Terrell Owens. And things like that.
Hey, I think what did he make? 4 straight NFC championship games?
Unprecedented.
And only got to one Super Bowl, and unfortunately ran into that Brady, you know, Belichick machine at the time. Yeah, I respect Andy Reid as a football coach without question.
So, gun to your head now, if you're the 49ers, what are you doing? Are you going with Mac Jones? Are you going with Lance? Are you going with Fields, Wilson, if he's there?
this might be contrarian to what the national press says. I'm going all the way Justin Fields, and I'm sleeping like a baby. I'm not even wavering from that. And I have Justin Fields number three. So, I mean, it is so close between Zach Wilson and Justin Fields.
Why?
But my job is to make a decision. That's what I do for the readers, for fantasy analysts. I have Zach Wilson at number two. But it is so close between Justin Fields and Zach Wilson. But if I'm the 49ers, I want that quarterback who can get me to the Super Bowl, who can unlock Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, George Kittle, who can complement that defense. I'm going Justin Fields here. He is such a good prospect, Anthony. I don't get a lot of the national narrative around this young man. I've watched the film, and I'm a Michigan guy, so I'm inclined not to like Ohio State, but I do not let that cloud my judgment. Justin Fields will be an NFL quarterback this year, and I think back immediately to just how Jalen Hurts slipped last year. We see the Eagles have given the franchise to Jalen Hurts. I think Jalen Hurts, fantasy-wise, is another. So I think he's going to have a good fantasy season. That's a different story.
Right.
But that's because of his legs. As an NFL quarterback, he still has maturity, and I want to see growth. But the Eagles also have to give him some receivers and get open, not XFL receivers. So I think, but you see, he fell to the second round. I think Justin Fields, and I think Justin Fields is a better prospect than Jalen Hurts. So, I mean, I can't understand. I'm thinking this is just a mirage, but maybe I'm missing something. And I've watched a lot of Mac Jones because I've been scouting Henry Ruggs, Jerry Judy, Tua Tagovailoa, Najee Harris. Right. You know, I've been scouting these guys for 2 years. And people thought I was crazy when I said Mac Jones is going to go in the first round in December. Now they're thinking, the fact he's
now it's a lock
is mind blowing to me.
Now, and again, this is why you're here. I'm going to present this question because I write over at the Game Day NFL, one of the more up and coming sites, especially for betting. And I had to do a quarterback comparison. And again, openly admitting, I'm just not a draft guy. Like, I'm not a savant. I'm a free agency savant. And that's where most of my content has been coming from. But I do some draft stuff over there. So I rely on guys like you and Daniel Jeremiah and Matt and guys. And you just said it. It's very close between Zach Wilson and Justin Fields. I ultimately put Wilson number two.
That's what I did.
And it was like ranked the three quarterbacks. There was, you know, obviously Trevor Lawrence. And then there was the next three.
Yeah.
And this is before the Mac Jones hype hit. And I had Zach Wilson. This is when he was the de facto number two before combine and everything else. I had him number two. And my one issue... And maybe it's just me because, I'm 36, but I feel like I'm older than my agent sometimes. As soon as you tell me somebody has character issues, I'm out.
So that's interesting.
I'm out.
Yeah. So I've been doing a little research on, I have a hard time with character issues, okay? So that's just, I'm a teacher. Character can be subjective at times. So I'm very kind of weary about that or try to be like, does he actually have character issues? Like that's a different and what defines a character issue.
Right.
I mean, I don't think a picture with two girls at a prom is a character issue. I don't have any reports that he's drinking like Johnny Manziel when he was coming out. My only concern would be that he's a kid from Utah and a very different culture moving to New York City. That would be, or technically New Jersey, right? They're technically in New Jersey, the Jets. You're right across.
Giants, Jets. Yeah, I'm right here.
Right? Right. You're right across the river from New York City. But I see on the field things that are magical. I do see John Elway at times and Russell Wilson. I see an incredible ceiling with Zach Wilson. I don't see any huge red flags on character. And I do look into that. But I'll say this. I haven't heard a coach or a teammate mention character. And I'm much more concerned about those two. If I read a direct quote from a coach or a teammate, then I would be more concerned. Does that make sense, Anthony?
It does. It does.
Because they know him the best.
So you don't have any character issues with Zach Wilson?
I don't see anything that he's doing that a 20-year-old college kid or 21-year-old, I forget exactly how old he is, wouldn't be doing when he's the star of the campus. I don't see any huge red flags going up, no. Remember when, didn't Dak have some arrest or something like a week before the NFL draft?
DUI.
DUI. I mean, has Dak been a character issue in the NFL?
No, it's just a kid. It's a 21-year-old kid.
Yeah, and he got, I mean, look, was it a smart decision? No, but, I mean, come on, man.
So what's the why, as you said, you have Wilson and Fields that close? Why?
Oh, because I think the upside ceiling of Zach Wilson can be incredibly special. So I'll say this. I think Fields has a higher floor and Zach Wilson has a higher ceiling. And I think the range of outcomes with Zach Wilson is much wider than Justin Fields.
Who do you believe the 49ers have taken?
I believe they're taking Justin Fields. I cannot imagine. I mean, I know what the media is saying. I understand all of that. I just can't imagine they bypass the talent of Justin Fields to go with Mac Jones. Because I think they could have got Mac Jones at the 6th pick in the draft.
Do you see any shot where the Jets go another position or trade out and stick with Sam Darnold?
I've been saying this all winter. I don't think they're switching out, but if I was the Jets, my friend, I'm either trading that pick, and that's another danger for the 49ers. What if someone trades up with the Jets? Two, I'm drafting the best offensive lineman. I don't care if it's Penei Sewell or I don't care if it's Rashad Slater or Christian Slater. It's Slater, right? He's the offensive tackle.
Yes.
Okay. I don't care which one it is, my friend. I'm going to give Sam Darnold, Mekhi Becton, and another quality tackle. I'll play him on the right side his rookie year. And then I'm going to draft the running back in the second round. I'm going to give Sam Darnold a chance at being an NFL quarterback. But from everything I see, it looks like they're trading Darnold. I just personally would give him one more year with talent because I really think he's had no favors with the coaching staffs in New York, my friend. Or the talent. Come on, he had Frank Gore running last year, my friend. Oh, my God. It's a disaster.
Yeah. Do you believe Sam Darnold, if traded, or even if he's retained, could get his career on track?
I do, and my son and I are Bronco fans, and we've had this discussion. I would trade a third-round draft pick for Sam Darnold right now and move on from Drew Lock.
Are you out on Drew Lock completely?
Not completely, but if you're giving me Sam Darnold over him, yes. I see more upside with Sam Darnold.
I've never been a Drew Lock guy ever since. I remember, I think it was Fangio who said, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, and I'm sure you'll remember this as a Broncos fan, where he was said he's more of a baseball player. He's more of a pitcher.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I was kind of like, if this is your head coach. And last year, Mike Hoff, my co-host here, and even Colin Cowherd, somebody, and everybody has their opinion on Colin Cowherd. But I respect Colin. And Colin thought Drew Locke, and he compared numbers, could be the next breakout, especially with everything they put around him. I bought in a little bit, but like now I'm completely out. You got to blow it up in Denver. You need a quarterback with all that. I don't think Drew Locke is it. So if you had Sam Darnold in Denver over Drew Locke, are you more comfortable and throw all be biased, be a fan?
No, I want Darnold. I would take him in a heartbeat in Denver, my friend. I like Darnold coming out, and there have been flashes of Darnold being a excellent quarterback. And I don't know if you read this in the offseason. This was a fascinating story that I can't even believe was true. But this is in the New York Daily News by one of their good reporters. You might have heard it. You're in New Jersey. Adam Gase would not let Sam Darnold make audibles at the line of scrimmage. And that became obvious. Remember the game Joe Flacco came in and the Jets scored like 28 points? And it came out in the paper later that week. Why did the Jets score so many points with Flacco to Darnold? And what the reporter and the coaching staffs, what they found out is they allowed Joe Flacco to call audibles, and Flacco's a veteran. He understands, five men in the box or, two safeties and a dime, and he could make calls that put the offense in a better situation. Well, if you are literally not giving your young quarterback the ability to make a pass the run call, my friend.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
That's not a winning situation. Like, it just was so poorly constructed. And I understand. I'm sure Patrick Mahomes, and we've seen Manning, right? Utah. He could make any call, any audible at any time. He was the best, right? I'm not saying you give Sam Darnold that, but you give him with a two-play option at the line of scrimmage, right? Like, come on, man.
We have my co-host is in the show right now. He's in the chat, and he's saying, tell John Law, but he adores you. Oh. And he's sorry he couldn't make it tonight, but he's a girl dad, and I'm sure we all understand that.
Oh, yeah, totally. Hey, Mike, and hello.
Well, you can tell him yourself.
My daughter. What's Mike's daughter's name?
Maggie, and I should know this by now. I know one of them's Maggie because my wife's name is Maggie.
Oh, so we got that. That's good.
I know Maggie for that reason, but I'm a bad co-host. Really, it's bad. I don't even know. Outside of my own, I don't even know my own mother's birthday. And this, I'm just bad with And you're a history teacher, right? And yes, I'm a history guy, but the one part of history I was never good with was dates.
Yeah, I mean, I try to teach general ideas like the Great Depression, you should know, was in the 1930s. Like, at least if you got that, then I feel like
But I'm like, yeah. I'm a history guy. I can't get dates.
Oh, you like history.
I'm just, I fucking love history. But I can't get dates down. Like, that's years right. And dates, it just never connected with me. Even phone numbers. I don't even know my wife's phone number.
I was saying to my friends the other day, because we're old, I remember I used to know off the top of my head, like my 30 favorite phone numbers, from your local pizza place to your best friends, to your girlfriend, to your house, your parents' house. And now I can't name one number other than my own because I have a cell phone. Like, it is so bizarre. Like, you used to just know numbers off the top of your, because you had to. There was no cell phones. There were no, you didn't have a phone book available to you all the time, right? So you just knew people's numbers.
Mike just came back and said his daughter's names are Maggie and Emma. And now Emma rings a bell because he says Miss Emma.
Ah.
Anytime he posts on social media, it's Miss Emma.
There you go.
So there now I remember it, but I can't remember. I know how he posts. I don't know. Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay, awesome. I don't even know my own mother's birthday.
I do know my mother's. I don't know if I know the year.
Like, honestly, I have a deceased uncle, and the only reason why he was like a father figure, I only know his birthday because it's my birthday.
Ah, that's easy.
That's the only reason why I know it.
Yeah.
Like when somebody says, "What's your son's?" I'm like, because my son's Anthony Servino also. Okay. Only I don't have a middle name. His middle name is Hunter after Triple H, the wrestler, actually.
Oh.
But like his is December 28th. And sometimes when somebody asks, I don't know, I'm like December something. I have a tattoo.
Oh.
I have to look. I'm like, all right. That's his birthday.
Oh,
I'm just bad with dates and names. I'm just bad with that kind of stuff.
Hey, at least you're honest about it. That's number one, right? You're honest about it.
So as my divorce papers come in, so let's move on. If Mac Jones doesn't go at the top of the draft, like some people are projecting him to the 49ers, where do you see Mac Jones going?
I think the best landing spot would be the Carolina Panthers. Ooh. I think there's interest in him. We do know that they coached him up at the Senior Bowl. From everything that we can read, they're not overly excited about Teddy Bridgewater. I think they believe that Bridgewater's is limited, and I tend to agree with them. I don't know what the ceiling, can you get to a Super Bowl with Teddy Bridgewater? I'm not sure of that. So you bring in a Mac Jones with some good, really good young receivers, right? DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson. You get Christian McCaffrey back on the field. So I think that's a pretty good landing spot. And if he doesn't go there, I hate to say it, but I mean, I hate predicting the Patriots, but you got to think the Patriots have to be looking to the future at one point here, right? I understand why they brought back Cam Newton. To me, it made total sense, but you've got to think about 2 years down the road. We don't, you know, give Cam one more year. But he has to prove it, right? You can't give him a third year if he has another bad season. So you need to have that quarterback. And one thing I think that people aren't talking about, Anthony, if you're looking at next year's draft class, right now it's pretty bad. It's not as strong. Now, last year Joe Burrow came out of nowheres and became Joe Burrow. We've got the rise of Mac Jones this year. So there's a chance that there's a guy who's going to rise who we don't know, right? But if you look right now and you were analyzing next year's quarterback draft, it's not as strong as this. Not even close, Anthony. I would say there's only one first-round quarterback right now if I had to take a guess. So I think if you do need one, you better get him now.
You know, outside of the quarterbacks, like the more polarizing teams like Cincinnati, Do you see Cincinnati going for somebody like a Ja'Marr Chase and bulking up the receiver core? You know, they lost A.J. Green, whatever he was worth last year. Or do you go with Penei Sewell?
My friend, I'm going to come out with my first mock draft. I always do it after I get all my profiles done for all the rookies. I'm going offensive line, offensive line, offensive line. You want to keep Joe Burrow on the field, you want to unlock T. Higgins and Joe Mixon, you have absolutely got to unlock and protect Burrow with an offensive line. If Penei Sewell is there, or if Slater is there, I do not know how you pass one of those two bookend tackles who can anchor your line for the next decade and protect Joe Burrow. Look at what happened. He didn't even make it through his rookie year. Their line has been so bad for years. And you're a Cowboy fan. Why have the Cowboys been good? Their line. Why do we like Jonathan Taylor in Indianapolis? Of course he's great. But how good is that offensive line? And remember, I said this. I thought Quentin Nelson was the best player in the draft when the Colts took him. And I know you can't take the guard with the number one pick. But guess what? Quentin Nelson is everything that I thought he was and more for the Indianapolis Colts.
When I saw Quentin Nelson comp to Larry Allen, it was a lock. Because Larry Allen, tackle, guard, played everything, both sides.
He was so good at Notre Dame, and I did. I thought he was the best player in that draft. And look at the Colts won. What did he fall to? Pick number 5, maybe? Something like that year? Unbelievable. So if I'm the Bengals, I got to protect Joe Burrow. And I get the fancy, flashy toys. We're fantasy guys. I get it. But, man, you don't have the big boys. You're not winning. You're not getting the ball into their hands. You've got to upgrade that offensive line, my friend. So if I'm the Bengals, I'm going offensive line.
Listen, I'm with you here. And I know we're fantasy guys at heart. But as I grow in this industry, I find myself separating more from fantasy. Because at heart, I'm a football guy.
What
good is Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd, and Joe Mixon when Joe Burrow is on IR?
And the whole offensive line can't block. Like, literally.
And I know they drafted Jonah Williams. And I know that they signed Riley Reiff.
Yeah.
But Penei Sewell, you know, he can make it all gel together. You can maybe put Jonah Williams in the interior.
Yes. Oh, dude, look it. Lalay Collins. Didn't the Cowboys get him in like the 5th round?
Yeah.
Because he fell. He was supposed to be a top round pick. And unfortunately, we know there was a really horrible story. So I understand. I don't want to relive that horrible story. But look at what a difference he has made to the Dallas Cowboys. Because they basically got a first round offensive lineman in round 5, dude.
Right.
And he's been amazing with Dallas.
But, like, yeah. So you think I have Penei Sewell going to Cincinnati as well. And if that does happen, where does Jamar Chase go?
So, that's an interesting question. So, do the Dolphins give Tua the big fancy toy? To me, I don't think the Dolphins are going to go there. If you've been studying the Dolphins, my friends, they are analytic guys on draft capital. I don't believe their analysis is not going to identify Jamar Chase as worthy of the 6th pick in the draft. Right.
Especially when you have Devontae Parker, Will Fuller.
And Anthony, there's wide receivers in round 2.
Right.
Plus they got the 18th pick. They can get a wide receiver. The offensive line. Take Slater or Sewell. Give Tua protection and then go get you. There's a 2nd round pick. I think, let me go right now. I'm going to click. Dolphins have the 36th wide receiver pick in the draft. There are going to be 3 or 4 wide receivers right there. And look at what T. Higgins did with the Bengals being a 2nd round pick. I cannot bypass, if I'm Miami, Slater or Sine, you know, Puel, if he's there, because the offensive line is where the value's at. You're not going to get a high-level offensive lineman with pick 36. Right. You might, right? You might find the golden nugget. But what's more likely, my friend? Finding the golden nugget at wide receiver that's loaded in a draft class, or trying to find an offensive lineman in the 2nd round?
I've heard the same take reversed from national media saying that, you know, you can go get an offensive lineman in the 2nd round. And to me, there are more sure thing offensive linemen in the 1st round than wide receivers. And guys like Justin Blackmon, Corey Dave, John Ross come to mind.
Oh,
Nelson Aguilar, Philip Dorsett.
There's so many. I mean,
and I know Mike's listening right now and turning over. because I like to bust balls on first round wide receivers, but they're not locks. Like even Andrew, I know Andrew Thomas a couple of years ago, he was the lock. He was the sure thing. Maybe not the highest ceiling, not the lowest floor, but he's not going to miss. And I think as Andrew Thomas, as his career progresses for the New York Giants, he's going to be a quality pick for David Gettleman.
Oh, it's good. He's going to prove to be better.
Right.
And I thought he improved as the season moved along, right? He got right. better. You know, the problem, I think, so part of the narrative around Andrew Thomas is the problem that Tristan Wirfs played so good in Tampa Bay that people are comparing Thomas to Wirfs, right? Thomas is going to be fine down the road. Just Tristan Wirfs turned out to be great immediately, but he also landed in a perfect situation.
You know, Mike likes to bust my balls, and Mike's in this chat right now, and he's saying Justin Jefferson cross chop, you know, for D-Generation X if you're into wrestling. And I said, well, Freddie Mitchell cross chop. X, baby.
Yeah. When I guess I'm just old, and if I can draft, I think there's three great linemen. Sewell, Darisaw, and Slater. However you want to do that. Jenkins is really interesting of Oklahoma State, especially after yesterday's pro day. But when I can anchor my offensive line, and look at Tua needs help. And you can get running backs and wide receivers later in the draft. I really look at they did it with Miles Gaskin and Salvman Ahmed, who were off the street running backs, right? I mean,
right. So
everything that Miami has shown me, they understand the value of positions, the value of draft capital. They understand how the draft should proceed. I think the values at the offense, if no, let's say no offensive linemen are off the board. The Bengals take Kyle Pitts, which I can't, but let's say they do.
Right.
How can Miami pass one of the top three offensive tackles? Basically top two. Most people have Slater and Penei Sewell ahead of Darisaw.
How could you pass? I'm happy you brought up Kyle Pitts because ever since, you know, Miami trades with San Francisco, they trade back up with Philadelphia. What if they are in the market for Kyle Pitts? If you think about Brian Flores coming from New England and Aaron Hernandez, Gronk, and to a much, much, much lesser extent, Kyle Rudolph and Jonnu Smith, much lesser extent. What if they are planning the same type of, listen, we could put these type of mismatches on a field and we trade up and Kyle Pitts will fall to us? And Vernon Davis recently was on The Herd, a show that I listen to a lot, and saying that even if he can't block out the gate, and Vernon Davis said, I couldn't block out the gate, but I knew to further my career, I was going to have to learn.
Yes. Look, if the Dolphins, and everyone loves Kyle Pitts. I mean, that he's just an incredible talent. There's no denying that. If the Dolphins decide, I mean, they could. I understand totally where you're going with that. Then you would have Gesicki and Pitts, which would be a major problem for opponents. There's no question about that, right? I mean, is that how I would build my team?
Right.
No.
But if you're trying to build around Tua.
But I got to protect him up front. I've got to. I can't let him get sacked. I can't let him get hit. I mean, look, Tom Brady made the Buccaneers. They drafted Wirfs, and then Tom Brady makes offensive lines better, and they brought in Gronk to protect him. Right? I mean, you've got to protect your guy. And look at eight. You saw what happened when Dallas with all those injuries along the front, my friend.
Last year. Last year.
It was a disaster.
Last year.
Right?
It is what Ron Stone. I don't even know. Whatever that. Steele. Not Ron Stone. Ron Stone was like 10 years ago. But Steele. Yeah. It was a disaster.
Disaster. disaster. You can't win in the NFL without at least a competent offensive line. You cannot have a bottom 10 offensive line and expect to be competitive in the NFL. I just don't believe it. You've got to be able to protect.
So if you're Miami,
yeah,
are you in any way targeting Kyle Pitts? Or what if you're Miami, John?
Yeah, yeah.
And let's say one of the quarterbacks dropped to you.
Oh, never.
Okay.
No.
Are you a Tua guy? You're a Tua guy.
You made a decision as a franchise to invest in Tua. You've got to give him more than 7 games behind center. It's just not right. And Anthony, if you and I actually, I was on your show last year. I don't know if we had talked about this. Talked about it on a lot of shows. If you asked me last year, I know I said on a lot of different shows, I would have sat Tua for the entire year last year. Yep. That injury that he suffered and for him to come back on the field is still kind of shocking to me. I'm still surprised the Dolphins wanted him on the field, but that's fine. Their medical staff said he could come on the field. They made a decision. But then pulling him, starting him, worrying about the injury, is he back? I'm surprised. I thought he would have benefited from an entire year, but they made that decision. Now, I've got to give him a good offensive line and an entire year before I make a decision on Tua. You know, it's just not fair to the young man.
You're right. And I've said it on this show many times, and I'm not the biggest Tua guy. I think the locker room wanted Ryan Fitzpatrick last year. And I know that there was unnamed player sources going to Armando Salguero or one of the Miami Herald reporters saying that Tua's not it. And that's all well and good. And that brings it down. Like when I see players saying that, even though they're unnamed, it could be anybody. It could be the number 60 man on the roster, practice squad guy. Yeah, but yeah. It still, to me, it resonates.
I mean, I look at this. I'll say this, Anthony. Don't you? If you're a Miami Dolphin, you want to make the playoffs. Who gave you the best chance last year to make the playoffs?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That's why they said it. You're in the heat of the moment, the passion, the competitiveness. Of course, you're going to say that.
There were times, and I think it was at the end of the year. Where I forgot what game it was. And you think about what Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Dak, guys you brought up earlier, when they see the first down marker, where they see the touchdown pylon, they're putting their bodies on the line. There was one game, and I forgot what game it was. And Tua, he just didn't have that same oomph about him. And that just, pump the brakes.
That's the injury, my friend.
Right.
That injury was bad.
Right. The hip.
It was a hip. And that's a quarterback gets all his torque, all of his speed, explosion. I would think the hips are pretty important. Maybe, you know, I'm no biologist or no human anatomy specialist. But, man, I mean, and wouldn't it be human nature to protect your hip a little bit as a human being after suffering that injury?
It's just so difficult. It's difficult.
Yeah.
If you're Miami, though, and you're looking at, like, how much time do you have? Bill Belichick doesn't want to go 7-9 again. And they showed that in free agency. We don't want to go 7-9 again. We want to meet Tom. We want to go meet Tom. And Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry, and Aguilar, and the Kendrick Bourne. I know that the receivers were low end, but they're fucking big time upgrades over what they had.
Yeah. So I say that, and I think I kind of understand the Dolphins' plan. They've decided to build a franchise around Tua. Anthony, I cannot jump ship this quickly.
Okay.
I got to build, because I like their defense. I actually think the defense is going to be even better than last year, right? And I like Gesicki and Devonta Parker. They still need another receiver. I get that. And they need a running back.
You don't think Miles Gaskin can get it done?
Yes. Stay with the plan. That's what I would do. And the plan says Tua's your guy.
Okay, that's fine with me. And Kyle Pitts, if they chose Kyle Pitts, does that help them?
It does. It helps them, yes. I mean, I cannot tell you that you're getting one of the best tight end prospects and it wouldn't help you. No, it's going to help you. But I think there's a wider range of outcomes with the tight end than the two tackles. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. If you're a Kyle Pitts guy,
yes.
Are you worried about blocking, or is he? Because I remember a couple of years ago, right? Like, I'm not talking about O.J. Howard, Evan Engram, and David Njoku. They were gonna transcend. There were three first round picks. They're gonna transcend. Really? Evan Engram made a Pro Bowl this year, and he's the ass of most of my jokes being on the East Coast. And I like Evan Engram. There was no way he should have made it over Robert Tonyan.
No, I completely agree with that. That's crazy to me. I thought that was crazy. Tonyan played great.
George Kittle in like seven games should have made it over him.
Yeah.
It's like, here, Evan, you stayed healthy most of the year. Here's a fucking play. Here's a Pro Bowl. Are you kidding me? I'm in New Jersey.
He didn't seem like a pro. My gut instinct, and I didn't break down every film. My gut instinct says he's not a Pro Bowl.
And I like Evan Engram.
Yeah, so do I. But I agree with the transcendent. Everyone, and I loved Howard and Joku. And look at what has happened to those. And I liked Engram. He was my third-ranked tight end. And they have not changed the NFL. We haven't seen it yet with TJ Hockenson or Noah Fant. They were very outstanding prospects. Eric Ebron didn't change the NFL. And I think he was the number five pick in the draft when he came out. So the range of outcomes is so wild for Kyle Pitts. That's why I think the plan should not change, and that means you get other players for Tua that will help him in the long run without as much risk. I don't want to take a lot of risk in the first 10 picks, Anthony. I want players. I've always said you can't miss in the first 10. You might not get Patrick Mahomes, right? But you cannot whiff. When you have a top 10
pick, you can't get Mitchell Trubisky either.
Yeah, you can't, dude. It kills your franchise. You've got to get a player who is going to be on your team for 5 years and contribute to the team. I don't go past 5 years. That's so far from that. But if I can get a lineman who I know is going to play for 5 years right now and who's good with a very high ceiling, I've got to take it, my friend.
Okay, John, as we are closing in at the end of the show, we are closing in at over an hour. What I'm going to ask you is, I know it just seems like
the
time
best
flies.
My day.
Devonta Smith, Heisman Trophy winner. If you go back, I know there was one in the 60s or 70s. It was a running back wide receiver, and he went on to be an XFL star. I think he moonlighted with the Chargers. We had Tim Brown, obvious Hall of Famer, Desmond Howard.
Rogers. You're talking Johnny Rogers.
Johnny Rogers.
From Nebraska.
And then we had, obviously, Tim Brown, Hall of Famer. And then Desmond Howard, who made his call to fame as a kick returner in the Packer Super Bowl. Devonta Smith. What is your take on Devonta Smith?
The best route runners in the last – the two best route runners in the last 8 years, I can't believe they're both at Alabama, Jerry Jeudy and Devonta Smith. So they're coaching them up correctly. They identify the skill set. They recruit that athlete. They coach them up. I do think Judy's a little better. Close. Very close. But those are the two best route runners. It is hard. We still don't have an official weight. Anthony, I've been watching this game for 45 years.
Right.
I still can't believe we are on April 2nd. And the young man hasn't gotten on a scale.
Hmm.
The only reason I say that if I'm going to invest a really high draft pick, can I invest in a young man who might be 168 pounds? That's, wow, is that.
I'm 200 and about 25. At 36, you know, I had a cervical fusion in 2007. I can't imagine 168-pound wide receiver in the NFL. I have tape on my, I have a shoulder. I can't imagine. I really can't.
I mean, what would Jamal Adams do to Devonta Smith coming across the middle and he catches the ball on a slant?
What would Darren Woodson do?
Yeah, I mean,
10, like 20 years
ago. Oh, he couldn't even survive it.
Stephen Atwater would end his career.
Yeah.
Steve Atwater? You're a Broncos fan. You know who Steve Atwater is.
Oh, he was, dude. He would have, Ronnie Lott, John Lynch. I mean, the game was just so, it was different, right? Is he Marvin Harrison? I mean, that's the closest, and I hate the comp because it's easy. But you have to be 100% convinced.
Better have Peyton Manning on the other side.
Well, isn't that part? Would Marvin Harrison have been unlocked if the Colts don't get Peyton Manning?
Imagine the Colts with Jim Harbaugh the whole time.
Well, what if they just took Ryan Leaf, right? That was some people thought.
Curtis Painter.
Ugh. So I have Devonta Smith number 3 on my board. He's a first round grade.
Right.
I don't know if I'm a top 10. I don't think I'm taking him there. Yeah. I gotta get some size. Look, I think DJ Moore, people say he's small. He looks like a giant next to Devonta Smith when he came out of Maryland. And we've seen how good DJ Moore is at Carolina.
Right.
Devonta Smith doesn't even come close to him, right? I mean, the size. If he won't get weighed, how small is he, Anthony? Like,
I agree.
That's mind-blowing to me. He has been one of the most entertaining players over the last 2 years, and his last 6 games at Alabama were some of the best film I've ever seen out of a wide receiver. There's no denying his route running.
You know, before we close, Julia, one of the better listeners to this show, is saying that Marvin Harrison is as light as Devonta Smith. And then look at Harrison's career. And I feel like the only rebuttal I have is he had Peyton Manning and Reggie Wayne. He had Reggie Wayne, Edgerrin Shea. Like, so it's not like, look at Marquise Brown in Baltimore. You're the number one. You're it.
Yeah, Marquise Brown has not come.
And he's solid. He's solid. He's a solid fantasy guy for a couple of days.
Yeah, and he's a nice DFS start in the right matchup.
I might be the only person on this earth. I feel like I'm the only person on this earth who believes Sammy Watkins is the best addition for Baltimore. And not because of fantasy, but because they actually have a legitimate wide receiver to compliment Marquise Brown for the first time. Like if you're in a 2-score deficit, maybe you have to actually give a shit about the passing game. For what? For once, Miles Boykin, they might convert him to tight end.
Play 2 tight ends with him and Mark Andrews.
So I
don't know if you would think the third ranked wide receiver means I'm down on him. I'm not. I just think there's some concerns that I have.
Right.
And it's very hard for me to invest that much draft capital in a wide receiver that light.
I'm with you here.
You know, because the Marquise Brown is in his range of outcomes, right? That's a reasonable outcome.
But is that a reasonable outcome for a top 10 pick?
No, that's why, right? I'd rather have Rondell Moore in the second round.
I'd rather have an offensive lineman. Well, I'd rather have Slater.
I agree. I think Slater and Penei Sewell are special, dude. I think you draft those types of guys. You just do. Listen, that's how I am.
John, we are over an hour. Tell everybody once again where they can find your work and everything else. This has been outstanding. This has been one of the better shows of the offseason. And it's always great when you bring it.
Oh, thank you, my friend. I really appreciate it. I love coming on the show, man. It's one of my best hours also. Please follow me on Twitter at GridironSkull91. I love to interact and like to meet new people.
He's the best.
And please follow all of my work on footballdiehard.com and the NFL Draft Bible. I have videos as well as written profiles and my models up there. And if you disagree with me, Devonta Smith, read my profile. Look at the models. See what I think and tell me I'm wrong. Fine with that.
If you disagree with John on Devonta Smith, come back to him about 3 years from now. And you'll see that John was right. But until then, thanks for watching tonight. There's a chance that we might be back here tomorrow at the FF Faceoff talking a little bit more about NFL draft and the betting side of it. So until then, thanks for watching. Have a safe and happy Friday night. Have a safe and happy Easter. And until then, we will talk to you later.